WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Over the past few years, the vital signs of the publishing world have been growing weaker as more and more magazines, newspapers, and presses collapse. But commentator Maureen Corrigan says there has been a boom in one area, publications that push holistic health.
I live with a health nut. His idea of a good time is to take me to one of those shopping mall health fairs where we can have our cholesterol checked for free and our body fat measured by calipers. He grunts and sweats on a stationary bike, and his loathing of palm oil is equaled only by his worship of broccoli, the miracle vegetable. Broccoli also happens to be one of the gassiest vegetables, but in our house, flatulence is the price we pay for fitness. I try to follow his regimen, but I still secretly salt my bean curd, and to fight stress, I'll always prefer sleep over a workout. But what I really resent is all the health literature that swamps our mailbox. We seem to be on everybody's subscription list. We get the Berkeley Wellness Letter and the Consumer Reports Health Letter. We've also gotten trial copies of Rodale's Food and Nutrition Letter, Prevention Magazine, and Men's Health, a sleazy newsletter that thinks health is a synonym for male sexual potency. We're considering the Meals That Heal cookbook, the Doctor's Book of Home Remedies, and 12 Modern Medical Miracles for Men Only. Books that teach lay people how to cure themselves have always been around. I have one entitled The Perfect Woman, published in 1901. It advised female readers how to overcome moroseness, treat gum boils with a bread poultice, and heal a prolapsed uterus by doing calisthenics. I think the current trend toward empowering the patient began in 1969 with the landmark publication of Our Bodies Ourselves. But what's different and disturbing about this generation of self-help literature is its paranoid view of the universe. These new health books and newsletters promise us that our bodies can be purified by an ascetic routine of diet and exercise, while at the same time they warn us that everything outside our bodies is hell-bent on destroying us. Recent issues of the Berkeley newsletter alerted readers to the harmful molds released into the air by Christmas trees and warned against plastic bags whose printed designs contain lead that flakes off onto our English muffins. The magazine Prevention denounced colored toilet tissue and hinted at the dangers in store for women who shave their legs up from ankle to knee. How else do you do it? The medical community is especially suspect in this fallen world where everything is out to get us. An ad for the Doctor's Book of Home Remedies reads, "Before you call the doctor, before you visit the druggist, before you take a chance with your health, look at this astounding book of 2,350 home remedies." The implication here is that the doctor and druggist are just diabolical shills for the undertaker. The free-floating anxiety of all of this health literature probably speaks to our current apocalyptic frame of mind. We're creeping toward the end of a century that's destroyed all of our certainties except one, the certainty that we're going to die. In an irreligious, apolitical age, we find ourselves standing alone, brandishing our broccoli stalks at death and hoping for miracles.
Maureen Corrigan teaches English at Georgetown University.